Okay, this is Louis Quinones, and I'm the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The panel lead for this home arrest review will be Mr. Michael Johnson, and I'll hand over the microphone to him.
Ms. Flores, can you hear me? Ms. Flores?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear, like, just very far, but I can still hear a little bit.
How's that?
That's better.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Flores, we're going to go ahead and start the hearing. This is a parole hearing for Lawrence D. Paxton. Mr. Paxton is actually on a home arrest parole situation. He is actually has been in custody. Mr. Paxton is here with us. There were a couple of calls that we did try to make on Mr. Paxton's behalf. One was to his mother, the other one was to his auntie. A leader person answered the line. We did leave a message with him. Mr. Paxton, if you would just come up here. And you could just have a seat right there, sir. I'm going to go over some information, and Mr. Paxton, if anything that I say in here is wrong, if you would please try to correct me on that. If we do get a return call from either your mother or your aunt, we will go ahead and pass them through on the line at the time, okay? A life sentence for murder in the first degree. Your sentence began back in December 18, 1981. You became parole eligible on December 17th of 2016. Is that about right, sir?
It was 1991.
Okay. You're right, your sentence began in 1991, I'm sorry. You did put a couple calls through to your mother, Shirley Bernstein, and also your aunt, Daphne. And if they call back, we put it in. You do have your progress report here from your parole officer, Ms. Morales, who's also on the line at the time. Ms. Flores, what we have on the line at the time. According to the information that we have here, sir, progress report that we have actually coming from the parole officer. It says your attendance has been good, participation has been good, that you don't have any restitution, anything that you have a payment card to her. You were released on November 16th of 2017, and you were approved to reside at the Old Pablo Community Service. You stayed there for 90 days. You completed that mandatory program. Employment services, 3 weekly group therapy sessions, and bi-weekly individual counseling. Then on February 20th of 2018, you obtained employment to BW Staffing. February 15th, 2018, you moved to an apartment that you and your girlfriend are renting. You maintained full of employment through the staffing company. You were informed that as soon as possible, when you're able to drive, that you'll be able to get a full-time job. You're still on the GPS monitor. It says there has been a permanent job offer, that you have not had any problems with supervision, to include your GPS conditions, that you have a positive attitude, you maintain a social relationship, and remain current with all your costs of supervision fees and complying with substance abuse testing with negative results during the time that you've actually been on your home arrest. So you also show here that you do have some letters of support here that you actually have here that's in your file, and according to the information that's in your file, prior to being released from custody, you have taken several classes and continue to take some classes. Why don't you stand up here, Mr. Paxton, and state your full name and your ABC ABC number, if you still remember it.
Yes. My name is Lawrence Dale Paxton. My ABC number is 105541.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on in your life since you've been on home arrest. What have you been doing?
Well, since I've been on home arrest since release, I've made sure that priority one was adhering to all rules, regulations, obligations, responsibilities, keeping them at the forefront. But the key for me has been employment, work. That is the saving grace, if you will. For an ex-con, getting out of prison, working hard 8 hours a day, every day, is certainly enough to kill any incentive towards anything, prohibitive activities, what have you. Employment is the key for me. Working is the key for me. Since then, I have met a beautiful woman who I share an apartment with. And believe you me, she echoes the sentiment of this board, my parole officer, my mother, and just about everybody else who has put stock in me and my future. My mother has made it very clear to me that this is your last mile. What that means is I can't afford to fail. I can't afford to misstep, do anything other than what I am expected to do. I can't afford to be struck by lightning or let a meteor hit me. I can't afford it. So I'm geared towards doing the right thing. I'm geared towards my success. But at the same time, I truly wish to make amendment for the crime that I committed. I took full responsibility for it still to this day, and I cannot allow that young man to lie there in vain, having taken his life and ruined mine any further. I can't do it. So I'm geared towards work, and then I'm geared towards home. Those are the only two places that I find myself, and I hope the board will look favorably upon relieving me of my angle monitor, because that is the last key between me and gainful employment, steady gainful employment with the number two construction company in Tucson, KENG.
So what are you doing for the construction company, sir?
As of right now, I am a laborer. They want to train me as a machinist, and the minute my angle monitor is taken off, I am hired with KENG full-time as an employee. As an employee of this company, I will take on stock with the company because it is an ESOP company. It is employee-owned. So as I work, I put money away for my future, my girlfriend's future, and the only thing that stands in the way is the ankle monitor. As they have gone through this before with another employee, they hired with an ankle monitor, and it did not work. So they are a little bit leery about bringing me on just yet. They want me, but without the ankle monitor, and I must have the ability to drive. I say that standing before this board knowing that I deserve nothing, that I have not qualified for anything. I say that knowing that I have absolutely no benefits coming to me. I am not afforded anything. But I hope the board will look favorably upon this request.
Okay. Hold on, your auntie is saying she's available, so I'm going to try to bring this call back to.
Okay.
This is Louis Quinones with the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency.
Hello, sir.
Were you expecting this call?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and patch you in with the other people that are appearing telephonically. So if you just give us a second, we'll make sure everyone's on board. Okay, ma'am?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, do we have everyone back on the telephone now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Ms. Daphne?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay.
so you were telling us a little bit about your job and that if you had the opportunity to have the anchor monitor removed, that you would be able to get full-time employment.
That is absolutely correct. A letter has been supplied by Mr. Dan Jordan, who is my acting supervisor. If given a different phase of parole, general parole, I would be hired on full time. He also needs me to get my driver's license, as I will be sent to different sites around Tucson for jobs, pothole repair, which you don't live in Tucson, it's pretty bad. Also working on site as a machinist, I'll be trained, certified on the job to drive backloaders, bulldozers, what have you.
Dad, I do have a letter from Mr. Jordan. Says that you have a good attitude, you're a quick learner, completes tasks efficiently, and he also shares his knowledge with others to help them, that you're available in addition to your team and works well with others.
Yes, sir.
So tell me a little bit about what else you would like to do if you were given regular parole. What would you like to do?
My primary is to advance as much as I can in the job, but it would be less stress on my girlfriend if I could do some of the shopping sometime. She has to walk to the store often to supply food for the house or things that we need. I can only go by way of schedule. I try to make that as often as I can, but to be relieved of the ankle monitor, which has been both somewhat of a hindrance, as I have had to walk past now hiring signs, or I can't go into a place without it being on my schedule, and I fully understand that, but it has also been a great reminder of the task before me and my obligations. But to be relieved of it would just take less pressure off my girlfriend and allow me to go back and forth to the store or pay the rent or pay the furniture renting bill or the just do more around the house. Upon getting my driver's license, stipulation that I can't operate a motor vehicle is lifted, I'll also go to the DMV. I've taken a test online already, just a practice test, and I'd be allowed to get my driver's license, and then I'm saving my money for a car. I have a bank account that I've put money aside in, and it would allow us to just have a little bit more freedom. But I again stress to the board that the sole purpose of me putting this request forth is simply for gainful employment. Everything else is a byproduct of me being free of the ankle monitor and having the ability to drive, but work is a priority.
So have you had the opportunity to go shopping or go to the movies?
I have not been to the movies. I have not been to Burger King. I have not been to any place where someone would just go to get a bite to eat or anything. My primary destinations are work, home, Walmart, and the bank. And that's been my schedule for some weeks now, because it's just simpler.
What's your experience with having the opportunity to shop like at Walmart?
When I first walked into Walmart after 26 years of incarceration, I heard angels singing. I will admit that it was kind of stunning. But then I just started shopping. I paid attention to my list, tried to look for the best prices, but my girlfriend tells me I don't know what I'm doing, so.
So, Mr. Paxton, can you tell this board why you feel that you should be released to regular parole?
To begin, I have met the responsibilities and obligations before me and will continue to do so. I truly, as I stated before, want to make amends for what I have done, and if that means living to the absolute letter of every standard and procedure before me, every rule, then I welcome that. I have a lot of people on my side. I am actually stunned by not only their support, their love, but the blessings that I've received just by doing the right thing. And it's not difficult to do the right thing. It's not, the only thing that's difficult is choice. When you put what you want before what you need, you will usually go wrong. I wish to work I wish to satisfy my position with my lady, with my family. I want to be productive. I want to live as people who have never committed a crime such as I have lived. I want to be better in my own eyes, which is something that I have yet to achieve. I want to work hard. I want to come home tired and dirty and exhausted, just as people who do the right thing every day do. I'm doing everything I can to scratch and claw to get back to a regular world, a regular life, and truly make amends for the crime that I committed, which stays at the forefront of every decision that I make. I make out schedules every week, a week prior to where I will be, how long I will be there. I return home. I'm 47 going on 48. I'm not big on going out. I don't do clubs or haven't even been to a restaurant yet. I prefer being at home behind a secure door in a secure place with someone that cares for me. We both work hard to keep up with the bills and rent and everything that we need. And all I want is a regular life after what I've been through. And if my sole purpose is to not let down the people who still support me, if my sole purpose is to never want to return to prison for the rest of my life, then I stand on that before this board.
Okay. Let me see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Canales.
I will ask again, how's your transition going with the with technology? You know, that's a big shocker.
Yeah,
for the last 25 years.
As far as my phone, you do things repetitiously, you learn them. You have to do things over and over to get a sense of it. Technology hasn't been that much of an obstacle. It's self-explanatory. They pretty much treat you like you don't know what you're doing, so they make it as easy as possible for you. And I've gone as far as to pay bills online, take DMV tests online, secure appointments online, put things away in my emails, send emails. The transition's been quite easier than I gave you credit for. I thought I was going to be overwhelmed, but they make it simple enough for you.
I have an end game to what I'm asking.
Okay.
It's highly respectful. Do you know how to type?
Yeah, but I'm still the look at the keyboard type of guy.
So am I.
Yeah, I have to look at what I'm typing. I don't trust myself to look away from the keyboard.
I was going to say, Mr. Paxton, I got to tell you, your public communication skills are so good.
Thank you.
I would consider going to law school.
Thank you.
If I were you. That's why I was asking about your typing skills.
Yeah.
So you're still a young man. Don't rule it out, but it's off the chain. You are such a good public communicator.
Thank
I just want to compliment you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All those attorneys back there smiling and shaking their head. All those law students that's back there.
Look at those hummingbird things.
I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Any more questions by the board? Can any supporters that want to speak on behalf of Mr. Paxton? Okay,
Mr. Hanson,
go ahead, have a seat right here.
We're going to have someone in the hearing room speak first, and then we'll reach out to whoever's on the telephone afterwards.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. And just please state your full name, and then go ahead and present.
My name is Pamela Ann Ross.
And go ahead and present whatever information you want to present.
When I first met Paxton, I was in a world of depression. I was sad all the time. I had went through a breakup before I met him. I didn't know what to do. I was thinking about leaving Tucson, Arizona. I just had gave up on everything. And so I met Mr. Paxton at Walmart as we were grocery shopping. Yes. And he was very nice, generous, shake my hand and treat me like a lady. And from that day forward, since I first met him, we start dating, seeing each other. We took our time to get to know each other and what we like and what we dislike. And we had a connection immediately. After that, we just been like best friends. We have this connection that we communicate very well with each other. We have a great connection. We talk like we're best friends. When I'm frustrated, he knows how to calm me down when I'm not at the right state of mind. So I just wanted to tell you guys that I feel that he really has changed, because he put something inside of me in my life that I've changed completely. I used to be quick to anger. Now I'm not quick to anger, because he can talk to me and he can calm me down and he can just let me know that he's here for me and he loves me. When I feel no one else cares about me, he lets me know that he does. And that's all I want to say.
Okay, so board, have any questions? Okay, thank you. And on the other line, we do have the parole officer, Ms. Flores, and we also have his aunt, Daphne. And so I'm going to go to you, Ms. Daphne. You can go ahead, and then Ms. Flores will let you wrap it up, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. My name is Daphne Felice Terrell. I am the aunt of Lawrence Daryl Paxton. We are only 2 years apart in age, so we grew up more as brother and sister. And I don't know if Lawrence told you, but I'm a retired LA County Deputy Sheriff. I worked for the County of Los Angeles for 28 years and 8 months before I was injured in the line of duty and I had to medically retire. But having said that, I said that to say, like I said before, I see this from different angles. I see it from the aunt with the rose colored glasses. I see it from the deputy sheriff from a different standpoint. And then I see it from the family's point of view, having suffered a loss such as that. So I see it from all different angles. And not just because Lawrence is my nephew, but throughout this whole and, you know, thing he's gone through, I told him he had to be held accountable from day one. I was able to come in his flat because he was my nephew. And he remained positive to the whole thing, even though, you know, when he didn't look so positive, he remained positive through the whole thing. And the person, the man that you see that stands before you today, I can only take credit for that from the sheep that was for a while he was here. He comes from a good family. You know, we're educated, we're hardworking, we're supportive, and one can tell you, I never turn my back on him. Even when he called me that first day, I told him to go to the police station and, you know, do the right thing. And he did. He went to the police station, and I can just say that from the California standpoint, we're here. This is even Arizona, truthfully, we're monitoring him electronically, talking to him on the phone via Facebook. It seems like I need to get a camera in Walmart because that seems to be where he gets all the parts. So I don't know what to say. I can just say that trust and know that I'm here watching his every move as much as I can from California and that he has a strong support base here.
Okay, thank you, Ms.
Riley.
The board have any questions? All right, Ms. Flores?
Yes.
And you have been, have you been his PO since the entire time that he's been on home arrest?
Yes, I've been his PO since he got released.
Okay. And I do have your progress report here. What do you want to, can you add and tell us anything else about Mr. Paxton?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last question.
Can you tell us and add anything else about Mr. Paxton?
He's been doing great on home arrest. He is being compliant with all conditions. He has maintained employment. As soon as he was able to move out from the halfway house where he was released to, he found placement right away. And he's been very responsible. I see him at a minimum once a week. He's been compliant. If he is in jobs, he contacts me, he asks questions. He, like one of the board members mentioned earlier, he has great communication skills. And that is very good for him in the work and world. And he has a great opportunity waiting for him. And if he is asked if he feels longer, as the work is done to the board by a support letter from his prime employer. And I think he was requesting the driving privileges. He has shown me that there is nothing on his record for with DMV that is holding him from getting his driver's license. So he has done great.
Okay, does the board have any question for Ms. Flores? Okay, thank you, Ms. Flores. We're going to go ahead and continue with the hearing. Ms. Flores, you and Ms. Terrell are welcome to stay on the line as we go ahead and continue the hearing. Mr. Paxton, if you would step back up to the mic. The board is coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Then we're going to be going into discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
Only that I hope the board will look favorably upon the request, as it will allow me advancement. I know it doesn't mean that I'm free. Regardless of the outcome, I respect the board's decision. I'm not going to, you know, step outside of my line. I have a responsibility still, regardless of the decision, that have to be met. And I respect the decision of this board. As I know, you are at the forefront of everything I consider. When options or forks in the road are before me, I remember certain faces, certain names, and I remember consequences. I keep them at the forefront of everything that I do. That's basically it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Paxton, if you go ahead and have a seat right there, the board's going to go into discussion, sir. While we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves over this time to board and make a decision as to what the board's actions would be at that time. Okay? Okay, the board's now into discussion. I've had the opportunity to review the packet for Mr. Paxton and some of the things that he's done. I certainly want to always make sure that take into consideration of the victim and the victim's family and the tragic loss that they have gone through, and certainly Mr. Paxton has admitted his involvement and also admitted regret and sorrow for the action that he has committed. That is something that he will not be able to forget. He's before this board. He's on home arrest at this time, and he's before this board either to continue his home arrest or obtain regular parole or absolute discharge. And based on the information and the testimony of Ms. Paxton, as well as his parole officer, Ms. Flores, who says he's been good and taking care of all his fees and working full time and found a job and been complying with his monitor, I am supportive of Mr. Paxton going on regular parole at this time. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you. And I agree with you. I just wanted to make sure, in case we... I don't know if we've noted for the record yet, but there is a letter from Maricopa County Attorney dated May 30th, 2018 that opposes any sort of increased freedom. But I just wanted to get that on the record. But I agree with you.
We do have the letter as well as previous letters from the victims that opposed any early release for Mr. Paxton. Any other comments from the board? All right, if there'll be no other comments for the board, then I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Paxton regular parole and deny him an absolute discharge at this time. That will be my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Good. Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed by Mr. Quinones. Dr. Wright,
agreed.
Agreed with Dr. Wright. I'm going to mark some things on here. Lease type grant was regular parole, denied. Absolute discharge. Uh, that he follow all mandatory DOC conventions and sanctions. No alcohol rules. Needs assessment referral. Still random tests for drugs and alcohol. I'm not going to mark that he may not operate a vehicle, so that would be up to his parole officer that get his license that he can be that. No contact with victims or family. If there's any restitution still to pay, that he must pay that. And then if there's any programming that's being directed by his PO that he partake in that programming that he may have, those are going to be the recommendations that I have for his conditions of release. Is there anything else the board would like to see? Okay, Mr. Paxton, if you would step back up here. Sir, the board has voted to grant you general parole. Did you hear the conditions of your release that you have? Which, do you think you can abide and still go by those conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you still, and I just want to make it clear to you that, you know, although you're on general parole, you are still on parole. If you violate your parole, then go back to prison. You go back to prison to continue serving that life sentence.
I understand.
Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Sir, you can live with those conditions. The board has voted. I told you what the board's decision was. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, unless the board has any other comments. There are no other comments for it, sir. That's concluding your hearing. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity. I want to thank you, sir, your girlfriend for coming down and speaking on your behalf. I also want to thank your auntie, Ms. Terrell, for participating over the phone. And I also want to thank the parole officer, Ms. Flores. That's going to continue. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time. We will be disconnecting the line. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir.
Good thing we